Good evening on this Easter Monday evening. We're glad you're tuned in today to the Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd welcoming you and thanking you for tuning in. We come to you from the Island Ford Baptist Church here in Madisonville, Kentucky, and we're glad to be able to come to your place of listening over the WSOF and WAJJ Christian radio stations. And we're thankful and grateful unto the Lord for His blessings. Hope and pray you enjoyed a good day on the Lord's Day yesterday, a special day, a time when we commemorate the fact that our Lord and Savior got up from the grave. Of course, that's really the reason we go to church every Sunday, because Sunday being the Lord's Day, showing that He got up from the grave on the first day of the week. Amen. But this is a special time when it seems like most of the people around seem to gather in, and at least they're supposed to be thinking about that resurrection of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I do recognize that many people have turned it into a spring celebration, just, you know, colorful clothing, though nothing wrong with that in itself. Maybe they have these the Easter eggs and the sometimes Easter bunnies and all that kind of stuff. And I used to joke them and say to them at Vision there in North Carolina when I pastored, I said, you know, I don't have any problem. I love boiled eggs and I love fried rabbit. I don't have any problem with rabbits and eggs. But we come to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It has nothing to do with fertility. Has nothing to do with springtime. It only has to do with the fact that because a man trusts in Christ, he can be born again. Christ paid the sin debt. God was satisfied with that payment and proved it by raising our Lord Jesus from the grave on that third and glorious day, just as He promised that He would do. Amen. And so we can get excited about that. We do have something to praise God for, and we do have a purpose for gathering together. Amen. And we had visitors here in the house of God yesterday. We're glad for that, and hope that they got blessed. And then, of course, it being the end of our radio marathon, we did not have service that night. We had we just had a meal, good meal. Boy, I'm telling you, had a table spread with all kinds of good food and good fellowship, and then went home and just took us a nap and rested real good. And now we're able to be here with you today on the radio. And we're taping this broadcast. It'll be played in time for the evening program there, but hoping that you're enjoying the blessings of God. Thank God for another good day. Amen. And of course, I want to thank all those, our listeners that called in, tuned in, and helped us on our radio marathon. We did not reach the goal we were shooting for. We were actually shooting for $35,000. Most of you know that $30,000 is a normal marathon to try to raise money for the next 90 days. And we had that, plus we had $5,000 in expenses that we were contemplating on, really knowing that's coming. 2,000 of those is already required. We're already responsible for that. And then another 1,500 that is a must. There's no way around it. Then another 1,500 that is a need. It's not that we have to have it right this moment, but is a need. But so we were shooting for $35,000. We raised only $23,420. We're pledged and promised to come in. So we're far short from what we were shooting for, but we're thankful for it. And we trust God. He knows what's going on. I did not think about it. And we were discussing, some of us, about it yesterday over the meal as to why maybe that was. We were talking about, you know, the ball game going on, and well, it seems like people get more excited about the ball game than they do the things of God. And I'm not just trying to rail on that, but I'm telling you, and nothing wrong with playing ball and enjoying yourself as long as you keep your clothes on, amen, and as long as you keep your priorities right, as long as it's a game and it's exercise. But when you go betting money and when you go putting that before God, amen, when it causes you to miss church, it causes you to miss your Bible reading, your prayer time, your faithfulness to the Lord, and that ball game becomes your God, you've got a real problem. Amen. But anyway, I didn't mean to get off on that, but we thought maybe it's because of the ball games going on that we were contemplating we'd probably have a slow day yesterday. But really, the entire marathon was pretty slow, and Miss Hall had the idea, and I hadn't thought about it, but that last week was spring break for a lot of people, so we might have had listeners that were going on vacation. They may just be coming back today if they've had the day off as well. They may just be coming back in in from spring break, spring vacation, and visiting relatives or whatever they might have been doing, and were out of the listening area. So that could be one reason for that. But I know this. God knows what He's doing, and He's able to take care of it. And I can trust Him. I believe we can trust Him with the need. And if need be, we'll ask Him to help us raise additional money. And if need be, we'll ask you for your help, because this is listener-supported gospel radio. I thank God for the people at Island Ford Baptist Church. Our people are givers. Amen. We have people that give silently, that you don't hear their names called, but I know that they give, and I see that. We have people that their names are called, and I appreciate that. The listening public needs to hear our people's name being called and know that we're behind this. We're supporting this ministry. As a matter of fact, we take up the slack from what doesn't come in. It comes right out of the offerings of the Island Ford Baptist Church, whatever that we need. And so we just, that's how we operate and how we run it. That's always been done. And I just believe that's right. But our little church cannot carry this large load, and so we have to have help. And I've said it during the marathon, I believe it's right, that the proper way to do that, the biblical way to do that, it's not that God intends one little group to carry it all. No, not one family, not one little group, but God intends everybody that gets blessed to contribute in the blessing, amen, and to have a part in the blessing. Freely you receive, what are you supposed to do with that? Freely give, amen. And I believe that's right. God gives to you, you ought to give to help somebody else. Matter of fact, He says, give and it shall be given unto you. Well, it looks like the coin ought to be reversed as well, that if it's given unto you, then you ought to give. And so I appreciate our faithful listeners. I know many that listen to this evening broadcast here, the Send Forth the Light radio broadcast in these evenings, are faithful givers, and some give above their ability. And I do thank you for that. Thank you. Thank you, thank you. But I ask you to pray for us. Pray that God would help us, help the money to expand and extend to meet the needs that we have, and that God would just give us grace. Amen. There's a lot of pressure and a lot of stress in finances and in the situation trying to keep these things going. You would not believe the expenses, and then just a little something go wrong, and pow, there you are. You've got a real problem and a real expense in your lap. So we just have to trust God with it. But I'm glad He can handle it. Amen. God's keeping the sun shining. Amen. Keeping the moon shining. Keeping the earth turning. Amen. Keeping things going. I'm so glad that's so. And I'm so glad He's still saving sinners. Amen. And I heard from my mother one day last week that they had a 79-year-old lady get saved this past Sunday night. Not yesterday, but a week ago. A 79-year-old lady got saved there in Kansas. And by the way, Lord willing, I'm going to be out there in Kansas the latter part of this week. Lord willing, we're going on Thursday. We're planning on leaving and going to Kansas. I'm going to preach for my dad there on Friday night, then Saturday night, and then Sunday morning and night there in Larned, Kansas, at the church that he started there in Larned. And then we're going to go from there on Tuesday. The Cottonwood Valley Baptist Church is hosting the Mid-Kansas Camp Meeting. And I've been there since the very first one. My dad is the moderator of that meeting, and that's one of the churches my dad started there in Kansas, and God's blessed him. He's been able to start four churches in Kansas thus far, and we're praising God. Each one of them, they've bought their own property, bought their own building, and have their own pastor when he moves away from there. Amen. I just believe that's the right way of church planning, and he's in one now. They have their own building, and of course, they're paying for that. They just have gotten in it. They've got a nucleus of people together, and of course, they're not ready to call a pastor yet. They're working towards that, but that's the goal. But I'll be preaching for them this weekend, and if you would pray for us there, we'll be taping our broadcast, having those things prepared, and then we'll be doing the afternoon roadshow, having those pre-taped as well. And so I'll be gone and out of the office. But also, one other thing, while you're praying for us about those things, I also have a situation that we've had a death there at Vision Baptist Church that I pastored there for 26 years, and a lady that was near and dear to my heart, my family's heart, and the church's heart, Sister Linda Griffin. She was our mission nation's treasure for a number of years and a good, godly lady. And she's had health troubles for a number of years now and actually been in the nursing home for at least a couple of years and had to have both of her legs amputated. Just a lot of problems that she had there. I was on dialysis and all that. But anyway, passed away this past Sunday morning, about 7:30. And they're going to have her funeral sometime this week. And so I'm going to be heading out there, and it's possible that I'm heading out there as early as this evening and be there for the funeral. If they have the funeral on Tuesday, I'll be back here on Wednesday and then leave to go to Kansas on Thursday. So we've got a busy schedule. And in the process of all this, I need to try to get my programs made. So would you pray with us on that? Pray that God would bless and help. All right. I didn't mean to take up all that time with our personal business, but I do request your prayers. And I'm glad friends can tell friends their problems, and we can trust each other to pray for each other and so fulfill the law of Christ, bearing one another's burdens. And I appreciate that. I'm glad to pray for you about your needs, and I appreciate you praying for me about our needs. Amen and amen. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer at this time, and let's call on the Lord. Heavenly Father, I do want to thank you for access to the throne of grace. I want to thank you, Lord, that you said we could come boldly unto the throne of grace. Lord, we don't come brashly. We don't come in our own power, but we come because we've trusted in the name that's above every name, the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can come boldly because we've been bought with the precious blood. Amen. We have our part, our being in the Lord Jesus, and because of that, through Him, we have access to the throne of grace. Lord, I'm glad that there we can find grace and mercy. There we can find grace to help in time of need. Lord, this is one of those times we're in need. And I pray, Father, you'd help us. Help us here at the radio station. Help us at the Island Ford Baptist Church. Lord, help the homes that we know of that are struggling and suffering. I pray, dear God, for those children that need to be saved and the adults that need to be saved. I pray for those folks, Lord, that are aching and hurting in their body, those that are trying to search and find out what it is that's causing their pain and causing their problem. Lord, I pray for your great healing power, but especially, Lord, your saving power on those that need to be birthed into the family of God. Father, I pray that you'd use us as we preach that funeral in the upcoming days there in North Carolina. Brother Gray and myself will be working in that funeral and preaching that funeral. Lord, I pray you'd bless that and use it for your glory. Sinners might be saved. Saints might be strengthened. Jesus Christ might be glorified. Father, I pray that for this very broadcast, that you'd use it for your glory and honor and get the praise. You, thy holy name, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. And amen. If you'd like to be turning in your Bible to the book of Jude, we'll be looking. Of course, Jude only has one chapter, so we'll be looking at verses 3 and 4 and verse 8 and bringing a message that we've started some weeks ago on the real story of King James and preaching about the King James Bible. It brought us to the thought of how that some are attacking the King James Bible by way of trying to attack the man whose name is on that Bible. And so I'd appreciate it if you would be turning there. We'll be looking at that in just a moment. Now, while you're turning, we're going to listen to a good song by our family, and I hope this might be a blessing unto you. Amen. I hope that song was a blessing to you. That was our daughter Hannah and our son Benjamin, primarily, I think, singing on that song, "Let One Beggar Tell Another Beggar Where He Found Bread." And I'm glad God saw me as a beggar and gave me the bread of life. Amen. Saved me by His grace, and I'm thankful and grateful for that. Well, we're reading our scripture in Jude, verses number 3, 4, and 8. The Bible says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 8. "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities." 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 10 speaks about these same men. It says, "But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities." And I brought out to your attention that when I was talking about why we use the King James Bible, that men will try to destroy the Bible if they can and try to tear the Bible apart. That doesn't work to get you to quit using the King James. They will attack your intelligence and mock you. And then if that doesn't work, they will many times try to destroy the character of the man, King James. And, of course, I say it again and again, King James did not write the King James Bible. He did not even serve on the translation committee. King James was a very learned man, a very smart man, knew much about language and literature. Yet King James, whether or not he was a godly man, would not matter as far as the Bible's concerned. He was only the authority on the throne that God used to authorize the translation of that Bible from the original languages and into the English language. And so it is the King James Bible is officially called the Authorized Version. Amen. And it just adopted the name King James because the people loved King James so much and were so thankful for the Bible that they put his name on that Bible as an honor. Amen. But they'll attack King James by saying that he was immoral. They'll say King James was a very wicked man, a very immoral man, a very perverted man, and even try to say that he was a sodomite, a homosexual, as they call them in society. But the Bible calls it sodomy. Amen. But in that, they'll pull up some one man made that accusation 25 years after King James was dead. Never in his lifetime. Never in his son's lifetime. But 25 years after the death of King James, this man made that statement. And then a few lazy historians picked that up. Rather than searching out the history, by the way, I mentioned 10 contemporary statements of men that lived in the time of King James or wrote about the times of King James that dogmatically said King James was a very Christian man, a very godly man, and a very moral man. Amen. And in preaching about that, I talked to you about using some things that I got out of a book entitled The Real Story of King James by Dr. Phil Stringer. And in that book, he subtitled it, Was King James Really the Ungodly Man That His Modern Critics Proclaim Him to Be? And in that story, I gave you a brief biography of the life of King James. I gave you the origins of the attack upon King James, where those origins came from. Then I mentioned to you some of the people that have alluded to that and added to that attack, or that have picked up on that and repeated that attack. Then I showed you some contemporary references about the moral character of King James. And then I talked to you a little bit, I think on our last broadcast, about King James's personal statements concerning homosexuality. King James called it a heinous crime. King James called it a horrible crime. King James said it was beyond forgiveness. Not that he said God couldn't forgive it, but that he said a king should never forgive the crime of sodomy. Amen. Now, let me read you just a few statements, and I realize my time's almost gone, but a few statements by King James about marriage and about morality, his teachings, some things about his marriage, some teachings by him about his marriage. Now, King James was married to Anne of Denmark in 1589. They remained married until her death in 1619. King James's modern critics say that that means nothing, since many time homosexual rulers have often maintained wives only for public appearances' sake. However, King James spent much time with his wife, more so than most monarchs, by the way. King James was openly affectionate toward his wife in public and wrote her many love poems and many sonnets. He greatly mourned her passing. More significantly than all that, James and Anne had 8 children together. You see, King James apparently wed until death do us part. He stayed with his wife until she died. Now, that is very significant because he was a king, and most monarchs of this world do not stay true to a wife, especially to one wife, for the life. Amen. And King James did that. Matter of fact, that is an argument against sodomy by being faithful to his wife, because not only was he in a heterosexual relationship with his wife, life, but also because of his monogamous relationship with her. You see, most, if not all, sodomites are philanderers who cheat around and play the field, as they say. They live very profligate lives, very promiscuous lives. Amen. They're very impure. They don't. I know they say, well, we just want to be married like other people. No, they don't. They want to play the field, but they just want to desecrate marriage. Amen. And I'm telling you, they just want to pervert marriage. Perverts. That's what they do. And I'm not angry at sodomites. I want sodomites to be saved by the grace of God. But I am angry that people take good things and pervert them and take moral things, good things, and call them evil, or evil things and call them good. God said that's not right. God condemns such practice, and God sends judgment on such practice. Amen. But King James had a moral life and had a good relationship from appearances with his wife, Anne of Denmark. You may remember that King James is the man that united the kingdoms of England and Ireland and Scotland, and it became known as the United Kingdom. King James was born in Scotland and was the king of Scotland. He was actually King James the Sixth, I believe it was, of Scotland, but when he became king of England as well, then he was King James the First of England, and of course of the United Kingdom. So he brought the kingdom together. Amen. And then King James had married this woman in 1589, Anne of Denmark, who herself was a king's daughter, and they stayed married until she passed away in 1619. Amen. Now, my whole purpose for all this is to give you some teachings and some evidence and some ammunition when people come up to you and say, well, why do you use the King James Bible when King James was a sodomite? First of all, that's not true. That's a lie. King James was not a sodomite. And whether or not he was really wouldn't change the Bible. And the Bible strongly says that sodomy is a sin, actually an abomination in the sight of God. Amen. And that didn't change the Bible itself. King James did not write the Bible. Amen. God wrote the Bible, but God used these men, and King James only authorized the committee to translate the Bible into English. Well, I'm out of time. This is Pastor Shepherd thanking you for tuning in this Monday broadcast. Pray you'll tune in tomorrow at 5:05 for the Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. And until then, may God bless you, is our prayer.